Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Squat Cobbler, episode number 25, which I believe is the gumdrop anniversary. I'm not sure what 25 is, but we'll go with ever. I'm Kelly Toole, at K-E-L-L-Y-T-H-U-L on Twitter.
And I am Mike, at Official Pagan on just about everything. Gumdrop and anniversary?
I don't know what 25 is. I had several other ideas that I was going to throw out that it might be, but I felt they were wildly inappropriate, so I went with gumdrop. But I think it's
try and keep this show clean, so I appreciate that you went with gumdrop over like necrophilia anniversary or something like that.
That's right. Yeah, it's that inner strength that I present, and I appreciate it. It's because you're my moral compass, Mike, and so I really appreciate your guidance in such things.
I'm going to make business cards that say Sherpa of Morality.
That's a great business card, a great band name, and I think you need to do that. That's excellent. And I think Sherpa of Morality will be the title of this episode. And so that simplifies the blog post, so thank you for that. I'll go ahead and get us started for this week. Mine's going to be a fairly quick recommendation. Mike, how familiar are you with a comedian named Mike Birbiglia?
I know who he is. I'm not super familiar with his material, though.
Well, like you know, Mike tends to work clean, and so I figure you guys you'll bond on that quite a bit. But he has a new comedy special out on Netflix. He tends to roll one out about once a year. He's done a lot of things. He's had a one-man Broadway show called Sleepwalk With Me, followed up with a movie under the same name. He's done the second movie after that, so he's starting to do more kind of in the movie realm, but his stock in trade is a stand-up comedian, and he's a fascinating guy and remarkable to listen to. I just truly enjoy him. It's fairly interesting because Mike has a sleep disorder where he will sleepwalk, and so Sleepwalk With Me was a bit of the story about that. And it's a bad kind of sleepwalking. It's a sleepwalking that he's walked out a second story window before in a hotel and fallen. And so it's like not the good sleepwalking. It's the bad sleepwalking. And so there was actually periods of time when, because if you're a comedian and you're traveling on the road, you've got to try and take some measures to help yourself. And so he would actually be in hotel rooms. He would come packing a sleeping bag and oven mitts. And he would zip the sleeping bag up, put the oven mitts on his hands, and try and go to sleep so that he was unable to unzip the sleeping bag and go about and cause problems sleepwalking. So a real interesting challenge that he faces from there. But he's incredibly clever, very self-deprecating. But I think it's probably his experience with movies and doing the Broadway show that when he does a comedy special, and this comedy special is called Thank God for Jokes. And that's my recommendation. It's on Netflix. I absolutely encourage everyone to watch it. The entire set, ultimately, there's a framework. As he kind of tells, there's like, you know, nice little cute moments and funny bits that he does through it. But it all kind of hangs together. And he's kind of making some observations and points in general. But there are just hilarious moments in there. And what I, you know, and this is tough when you're recommending a comedy special, you don't want to like give away the punchlines and tell, you know, give away a lot of the jokes. So I'm not going to do that, but I will kind of talk about at least kind of the fundamental framework that he's operating under. And in this one, this whole set and this whole show is about jokes and about his love for jokes and about the fact that there really isn't a joke you can make that isn't offensive to someone. And so he kind of plays with that and works through it in a lot of very, very interesting ways. And what he was impacted by in particular, and this didn't happen, this is a fairly recent recording of a show, but a couple of the kind of grounding elements of it was he was reflecting back on, and I don't know if you recall, there were a series of several cartoonists who drew Muhammad in a cartoon, which you're never supposed to create any sort of depiction of Muhammad in any sort of drawing, painting, or whatever. And several of them were killed because they had done that. And that influenced a little bit of his talk around jokes, and every joke's going to offend somebody, and some of the incredibly dire consequences that come of it. So a laugh riot, right? You know, crazy, but you know, he kind of sets it on there. So he's you know, it's interesting because he's a thinker, and he does some things, but he kind of sets a little bit of that up, and then he kind of runs through and gives kind of frameworks on different kind of jokes that everybody kind of thinks is really funny. But then he kind of points out, so you think this is funny, but what about them? In the process, he talks about the fact that because he does tend to work pretty clean, like you do, Mike, he sometimes gets invitations to places exclusively because of that. And so he had to do he did a show at a Christian college, and he has a very, very, very interesting story about how that went down, some of the material he chose to do, and how that all kind of played out. And it's a very strange show because this doesn't spoil much because you'll see it right at the very beginning. But as the show starts, there's this videotape of Jimmy Kimmel introducing Mike Birbiglia to what was the Gotham Awards. And this was some award show in New York that was actually done a couple years before this show, where Mike was the host. And so you get Jimmy Kimmel kind of talking about it, and then he kind of comes out. And a lot of the setup with Jimmy at the beginning is, Mike told a joke at that show that had some consequences, and you get to it by the end of the show. He keeps teasing it, and he does a really interesting job to it, but you get to it kind of at the end. And so he is one of the truly funniest people I like to watch comedians on Netflix. I've always just totally loved anything that he's done. I'm also a huge Bill Burr fan, who's kind of the anti-Birbiglia. He's a Philly guy, and he's hardcore, and he's in your face, where Mike's a little bit different. And both he and Mike have recently put out new specials. And while I love both of them dearly, I really felt this one of the two, as I was kind of looking, what am I going to recommend? I go, the Bill Burr one was kind of nice. It was good. You know, there were moments, and it was Bill, and it was great on there. This is a really enjoyable watch, and it's this nice combination of intellect, interplay with the audience, humor, and some points he's trying to make. And so for this week, I'm recommending Mike Birbiglia's Thank God for Jokes. It's available on Netflix, and after you watch it, you'll probably find a few other Mike Birbiglia ones out there, and I check those out as well. So that's my recommendation for this week.
Well, it's definitely an interesting recommendation, and you said that he works clean.
Yeah, he does 90% of the time. His there's one time when he didn't work clean involved the Muppets, and so that's an interesting moment in the story. And so, but by and large, he does. Yeah, I mean, you'll occasionally, but he's you know, the show is not peppered with expletives and all that, but it's not there is some adult language in the show, but it's really, there's just moments of it, and it's kind of in the context of a story.
That's definitely interesting. As a whole, do you see yourself leaning towards more clean comics? Because we kind of talked about this on our last Alice episode, how certain things are written, how they're worded, how they're presented. Do you tend to see yourself as a fan leaning towards cleaner comics or dirtier comics, or does that not matter to you in context of comedy?
It doesn't matter a lot to me. Bill Burr, who I mentioned earlier, a lot edgier, a lot rougher on some things. I really like Bill Burr quite a bit. He would not be depicted as someone who works clean, I don't think, but I kind of enjoy him equally with Mike Birbiglia, but it's a different style. And just kind of going through communities. I mean, I like it kind of unraveled quickly. But early Sam Kinison, I loved a lot. I thought that was good. And then he got a little weird towards the end from there. Never liked Andrew Dice Clay ever, except maybe his first nursery rhyme. But I don't have a strong preference one way or another. You just got to be good.
Yeah, I think that's you kind of hit it with that. I think what matters is the quality of the material. The only time that it's ever really come into play for me as far, because I like watching comedy, and I'm a huge fan of comedy albums. When I was a kid growing up, my grandparents had tons of comedy records, from like really mainstream, clean kind of stuff to like Red Fox records and stuff like that. And I listened to it all. And The only comedian that I never, ever liked was Bill Cosby. And the thing that always bothered me about him is he made it such a huge point in his act multiple times in different comedy specials on different albums to talk about how morally superior he was for remaining relatively clean. I don't know if you heard, but Bill Cosby probably shouldn't have been taking the moral high ground on anything.
So interestingly enough, there's Bill Cosby reference in the Mike Birbiglia show that I'm recommending. So,
oh, nice.
Kind of in the vein of what you're talking about.
I do have two other quick things with. So a good friend of mine and friend of yours as well, Tony Viejo, is a stand-up comedian. And he even hosts some of the shows that my band does. He has done occasionally clean sets. And I wouldn't say his normal sets are particularly filthy or anything like that. Like, this is not like, you know, the weird like underground records you would never play for anybody else or anything. Like there's some profanity, but it's not over the top or anything like that. But he had a bit. I don't know if he still does it. I'm not going to, you know, give away anything in it. But there was a generally offensive term that he used many, many times in this one particular bit. And again, it was a real story. It wasn't even a bit. Like, it was a real story. It was something that happened. It was a real exchange with somebody. But there was an offensive word that this person kept using. And it was hilarious in the context of the story because of who was saying it, how they were saying it. So when he did that, though, it would make certain people uncomfortable, including sometimes promoters. So he came to me after a particular show he did, and the promoter came up to him and said, you know, you can't go up there and use that word all those times like that. And my response was apparently the same response he gave the promoter, which maybe shows where my moral standing is. I said, how many times are you allowed to use that word? Which was the same thing he asked. Apparently, it should have been none. That was the correct answer. You shouldn't use that word. Which I understand where they were coming from with that. But my knee-jerk reaction, of course, is like, well, obviously there's an acceptable amount of times to use a word like that. Which I guess, you know, when you're talking about, you know, what offends people, it sounds like there's an interesting thing that's in this comedy special talking about how everybody's going to be offended by something. And that's why I made it a point to say this is a word that offends most people or makes most people uncomfortable. But it sounds like, you know, he's right. Everyone is offended by something. I try not to touch too much on like politics and religion and stuff like that. But of course, drawing Muhammad was such a big deal and something that was in the media and people getting upset over all that kind of stuff. And so I can see where all of that, you know, do you think fear of retribution, like if you were a comedian, which in a way, I mean, you are an entertainer, you're a podcaster, you're putting this out here. Have you ever stopped? Was there ever something you wanted to say and you stopped yourself because you were concerned that it might offend someone?
So I'm not gifted with a filter a whole lot in terms of kind of or judgment on some things. I think every once in a while there has been a place where I've like checked myself, say, oh, I'm not going to say that. Every once in a while, depending on, and we've been on, you know, tons of different things, done a lot of different. Every once in a while, you might start to kind of cull into some territory. You're like, I don't know how much I want to play in there. But, you know, we did do a Snark Alec radio reunion intimating that the Pope was our biggest fan. So I think that stands by itself to kind of say where the judgment falls on some of that. And so, while I don't, while you have, and you know, shockingly, you've not shared the word that Tony used that caused the issue. I have a hunch.
I feel like
that
you could guess it. Yeah, if you like, there's a really minimal number of words I think you could guess that I wouldn't repeat on the show that are generally offensive. Yeah. I'm sure you have it narrowed down to two or three, and it's one of those. I assure you.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, this is a shame because, I'm only speculating at this point in time. You know, you've got a tour coming up with Pagan, and you've got an awesome tour name, which is
Drones and Blowjobs.
Yeah, which is great. So there you go. Catchy. Going to get a lot of attention. Contemporary. Very, very good. the drone part is contemporary.
I feel like blowjobs have been around for a while, Kelly.
I made that distinction. But had you, you know, so maybe the next tour, I want to give you a gift today, which is to give you your next tour name, which will signal to you also what I think the word is. And I have wanted, if I were to form a band, there's a very, very good chance this is the name that I would want to use, mostly because I think it would just be irritating to people. And the name of that band would be Rhymes with Bunt.
That is not the word.
Oh.
So it's the other one you're thinking of.
Okay.
So it's interesting that you mentioned that word, because we have used that word quite a bit, and I guess, I don't know why, to me that doesn't seem as offensive as it is to some people.
It does. First of all, I'd like to point out there are many words that rhyme with bunt. So there
is. That's true. But I feel like everybody's on the same page here. I wouldn't say I use that word often, but in the few times that I feel like we've used it, whether it was on stage or whatever the situation was, I do find people do sometimes get what I think is disproportionately offended by that word. Because I do feel like, you know, all right, so the last show that we did, we didn't use that word, but we had a man up on stage that we were using a staple gun, stapling money to his naked body. And when I got off stage, I don't remember what we said. It wasn't that word, but there was some little thing and somebody said, oh, that joke was a little far. Something, and I was like, you just saw a human being stapled. One of the staples hit the bone, his sternum. And like we had to dig it out of his skin. But there was some joke that was made. And it was like a blowjob joke or something like that. Like something honestly really tame. But that's what they latched onto. And we're like, that was a little far. So, and again, it goes back to everybody's offended by something. But I do think sometimes it, like the arbitrary distinctions over what's more or less offensive are strange to me. To me, in general, to be offended by a word is kind of silly. Any word. Whether it's the word that rhymes with bunt, the word that Tony said, or whatever it is, it's a little weird. It's just a word. And if you're more offended by a joke than a human being stapled with a staple gun, which was real, that was not a trick, that happened. Like, if you're more unsettled by a blowjob joke, I wonder where you're at mentally.
Yeah, so a couple things on this. So first of all, while I will, because, you know, we're committed to complete this show, I will do that. But what you've just shared with me is you have defaced U.S. currency, which I have a big problem with. But I think you need to think about the seriousness of your actions regarding our currency. But I'm gonna try and rise above, because I just think we need to finish the show. But it's troubling.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I never, I didn't see it from that perspective. The gentleman kept the money. If that makes it better.
I should hope so. So I'm trying to figure out how does the conversation go? Is it, hey, you know what would be fun to do? We should staple money to somebody, which again is defacing U.S. currency, and I do not support that. I want to make everybody clear on that. But stepping aside from that, so we're going to staple money to somebody. Somebody has to eventually put their hand up and say, "I'll do it." Did you seek someone out and say, "Hey, what do you think about this?" Or did someone say, "Hey, what about we do that?" So was this an opportunity you presented to people, or did someone seek you out saying, "You know what would be fun? Staple money to me."
Somewhere in the middle. So there was someone that we sought out to be a part of the show, and we were trying to figure out what specifically they were going to do, and they were throwing some ideas out. They had mentioned doing something before where they would let people staple things to them, including money, but they got to keep the money. And they were concerned about not making enough money off, not making enough money off the show. They were getting very well paid to be there and were trying to make more money. So right before we went on stage, they were like, "Hey, can we do the stapling thing?" And I was like, "Hey, if you want to have yourself stapled, you knock yourself out, buddy." it's not happening to me from a showmanship perspective. It's interesting, I guess. People seem to enjoy it, or at least be freaked out by it. So
I'd like to thank you at this point. One of the things I've been working on is due to some jackbooted thug copyright requirements of YouTube, I had to adjust our end bump, which previously included some material I didn't have rights to distribute. And so I've begun to use little snippets from the show. And I think he provided me a nice quote about, if you want to be staple, go ahead for it, buddy, or something like that. It will be, will be a nice little addition into that that little bump section. So we'll be updating that. We'll right now be going with our standard bump out, which, if you don't listen to the end of Squat Cobble, you really should, because there's some nice little moments at the very end.
I actually love the what you've been doing, and I know, like, unfortunately it came about because of the copyright issues, but I actually really like it.
Yeah, and I've been going through and there's commentary on whale sex and a few other things that have occurred in past shows that I think we'll have some new material for a bump here soon. And this show here is providing a couple. So that's awesome.
So yeah, it falls somewhere in the middle. It was their idea. They had done it before, so they knew what they were in for. It wasn't like some drunken guy who was at the show and we were just like, we're going to let people staple you, but you get to keep the money. It wasn't anything like that. They knew what they were getting themselves into. Yeah, and they had people staple money all over them. They drew a line at having money stapled to their scrotum only because it was not a high enough denomination that was being offered. So they would have been open to this if it was more money.
Yeah, so Oscar Wilde, intellectual, author, writer, poet, at one point had a conversation with a woman saying, would you have sex with me for a dollar? And she said no. And so, would you have sex with me for $5,000? And she said yes. And so then he came back, how about for $5? And she says, what kind of woman do you think I am? And he goes, well, we've already established that. Now we're just negotiating on price. So the question would be for scrotum stapling. Is there a price point for you, Mike? Because I got to tell you, I don't have a price point for that. I'm gonna be a hard no, regardless of the amount.
So for me, that's a hard no. Yeah, it's a no for me. For him, I could be misquoting here, and I'm sorry if I am, but I believe he said $100 was scrotum staple. Yeah, I don't know what the going price of letting someone staple your scrotum is. I feel like that's a worthy Google search, Kelly. You need to.
Yeah. So I've got a Google. Hey Google, what's the going price for scrotum stapling? You know, but unfortunately the device is not close by. But anyone who happens to have one who's listening to the podcast just got the answer, so that'll be awesome.
You're welcome.
Yeah, our gift to you.
So my only other question or comment on your on your recommendation. So you mentioned that he was a sleepwalker. Did you ever sleepwalk? Have you ever sleepwalked? I don't know the proper phrasing.
As far as I know, just once when I was very young, and it's one of those stories, you know, every once in a while you have those moments when you're a small child where something happens and your parents like to trot the story out again and again and again. And apparently, at some point in time, I was at my grandparents. They had a place down in Florida, and I got up, walked to the refrigerator, opened the door, and urinated all over the beer of my grandfather. It's sleepwalking. So,
that is awful. Just because of the peeing all over the beer,
it's wrong. It was wrong. But I was young.
You didn't know about it.
So, I have multiple excuses. but as far as I know, that's been the only event that I've been reminded of repeatedly. How about you?
Apparently it was a fairly common occurrence for a few years while I was a kid. What's weird or annoying to me about the situation, though, is I wasn't told about it until I was a teenager. So for years, I didn't know that this ever happened. And apparently it was, you know, something that went on for a couple year period pretty regularly. I never peed on beer, though. I knew better. But I would get up and walk all over the house, though. And initially, my grandparents apparently would follow me around. And then they realized that I had the layout of the house pretty well down. I never fell. I never walked in. And so they would just let it go. And it was something that, I guess, just phased itself out over time. But no one ever, for whatever reason, no one ever told me about it until I was like 17 or 18 years old.
Again, I'd like to point out I was asleep. And so I don't feel that I should be judged. This wasn't a statement.
And also, just so, because you feel like you're being judged, I'll go back and answer. It wasn't really a question asked to me, but it's a question I asked you, so I should provide an answer as well, because unlike you, who didn't participate in the what sort of pornography do you enjoy consuming thing that I saw as a team building exercise, but you opted not to participate in.
Yet another hard no.
So there's only ever been one thing, and it was, I didn't stop myself before I said it, but after I said it, there was once a situation, and there's been plenty of times in one-on-one conversations I've said things I instantly regretted or knew that I should have never said. But there was one in a public forum. I was doing a podcast with our friend Christian, and we had a lengthy discussion about the etiquette or the moral standing of sex with robots. And it went really deeply into strange, strange territory. And afterwards, I was just like, we shouldn't have said any of that. And it went out unexpunged in any sort of way. It went out, but because we definitely, I know we both were, even during it, openly questioning whether we should have been saying anything that we were saying, if we should never air that episode. But, you know, we don't have better judgment, so we let it go out.
So here's a tip for Christian and you in the future, okay? The next time both of you have a question on whether something is a good idea, it's not a good idea.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing for anyone who, Social Sins will be coming back. We had to take a break because of circumstances that were outside of our control at the time. But Social Sins is coming back. This was an episode of Social Sins, so it'll be back up soon. There are actually unaired segments and at least one entire episode of Social Sins that we could not in good conscience put out. So imagine that. What happened? We don't even speak about the unaired episode anymore. So imagine what happened there.
I can't. It is beyond me because I know there's still some bitterness with Christian around some editing that I might have done. Was that the first Squat Cobbler? What do we have?
That was the very first Squat Cobbler, yeah. Christian was the first guest on Squat Cobbler.
He felt censored by me, accurately so. And that was it was like the first Squat Cobbler had a disclaimer, and then we were disclaimer free for a while. Golden years, as I like to call them.
Golden years.
And somebody had to talk about Scooby-Doo.
Hey, at least you didn't get the sex with robots conversation. And it's not, the issue wasn't sex with robots. The issue was particularly built around, do you remember the show Small Wonder?
No, I don't.
It was a show about a kid who had like a robot friend / sister type character in his life whose parents or father specifically, I believe, built this robot girl for him to be his sister or friend or whatever. So we were talking about if you got a Small Wonder size, like a robot that looked like a kid when you were a kid, and you and that robot remained a couple, let's say. Okay. Obviously you age, the robot doesn't age. Are you a pedophile then?
Yeah, I think you made the right call by keeping that.
We had an in-depth conversation about this, and we still let it air.
Yeah, does it depend what version of Windows the robot's running? So, I don't know.
Well, my take, and I think Christian and I came down on the same side of this, for anyone who's interested, because I believe it's not currently available until we start up the podcast again. If you got a robot that looks unusually young as an adult, that's inappropriate. If you had that robot when it was age appropriate and you still have it, you obviously aged and the robot didn't. That's a different circumstance.
Okay.
So if it comes about the age appropriateness of when you acquired your fuck robot.
Which will not be the title of this episode.
When you acquire a fuck robot?
Yes, that'll
sounds like the darkest instruction manual ever.
You can see like in those 1950s document, you know, the little public service announcements. When you acquire a fuck robot, Billy is good choice, Billy.
So now that
so this now is going to be this is going to be the day, short. Killing. This was going to be the short episode that we were going to do. Oh.
Call it drawing Mohammed and see.
Yeah,
see
no.
See if that affects the listeners.
Third hard no of the show, right there.
You could call it hard no, since that's hard. Also a repeating thing.
Yeah, I think that's a candidate. I'll, when I go back and do the editing, which will be significant for this episode.
How much fuck robot is going to stay in the episode?
Well, we need to earn our explicit tag, so I think that's fair.
And I think it was a good moral lesson to say that even Christian and I both believe your fuck robots need to be age appropriate in appearance.
As the moral compasses to the universe that you both are.
True, true. So anything else do you have on your recommendation, sir?
No, I'm very much done.
I mean, we hit on Bill Cosby, Muhammad, sex with robots. It was quite rhymes the route you took us down. Yeah, rhymes with bunt. Which
I tell you, it's an awesome tour name.
It is good. Well, I guess it's time for my recommendation then, unless you have anything else to add.
I have nothing else to add at all.
mine's pretty short and way less explicit than Kelly's. How familiar, if familiar at all, are you with the rap group Twisted?
I'm going to go hard no again, so no.
Hard no. See, that might have to be the title. So Twisted is a rap group that was formed in the 90s from members of a group called House of Crazies. I was a really big fan of House of Crazies. A lot of Twisted's initial popularity, though, came from their association with the group Insane Clown Posse, which I have a sneaking suspicion you've heard of before.
Now, there is a group I am familiar with.
Huge fan, I assume?
Yeah, actually.
So Twisted...
I'm good with them.
Twisted were seen as like proteges of theirs and eventually broke off on their own and started doing their own thing and formed their own company and started signing acts and helping develop their careers through their company. Now, in recent months, there's been a feud that has been developing between Insane Clown Posse and Twisted, who were once very close friends. I do not choose sides in this feud because both Insane Clown Posse and Twisted have contributed to projects of mine. I am not picking a side in this feud, but unfortunately, I feel the feud between them is over. They both own record companies, and I feel like the feud between them is overshadowing the newer artists that they're both trying to develop at this time. So I kind of wanted my recommendation to be one of these newer artists who I think isn't getting the proper amount of attention at the moment because their album is exceptionally good. Twisted on their label have released an album. It's technically the first album by the band. It's really their second album, but they changed their name because there were a lot of other acts and there were some search history related issues with them. The group was originally called the Damn Dirty Apes, which apparently there's a number of other bands who have the same or similar name. And obviously when you search that, you get a great deal of Planet of the Apes related stuff and not their music. So they decided they needed a different name to make it easier to search for them. So they changed their name to Gorilla Voltage, and their debut album as Gorilla Voltage is called Apex, which is stylized as Ape X, the letter X, and has a cyborg Terminator looking monkey on the cover of the album. And it's actually, it's a really strange, different kind of album because the core members of the group come from metal backgrounds and it is a rap heavy project, but there's a really strong musicality to it that is 100% missing in rap music right now because the popular iterations of rap music have become dumbed down to the point where a lot of people call it mumble rap, where there isn't actually intelligible lyrics being spoken anymore. And there are even interviews with a couple of very prominent rappers at this moment who say things like you don't need words in songs, which is an interesting thing for a vocalist to say. maybe a little bit concerning. So it's incredibly refreshing to hear something that not only is really well put together and well crafted, but has a really strong musical pedigree. The music on this is actual constructed songs because they come from band backgrounds. It's not just a looped beat as we hear so often on rap music right now. And I'm a huge fan of rap music, so I'm incredibly disappointed in the majority of what's being released at the moment. So this was a really interesting and refreshing album to hear that actually sounds completely different than anything else that's out. And I feel like it's being overshadowed by the feud between Insane Clown Posse and Twisted, and people are forgetting that this is a completely separate act that has nothing to do with either one of them. So I feel like people should go and check that out. I have a digital copy of it right now, and I'm hoping that they release it on vinyl because I would love to have this on vinyl.
So speaking of search results, Nurture and Support, our sister podcast, our twin, our you know, evil, we're the podcast with the goatee, we're the evil podcast, and Nurture and Support's the good podcast. If one would go to Google and search on Nurture and Support, the first four organic links, non-paid links in Google, are to actual Nurture and Support, the blog, our iTunes feed, past articles. So Nurture and Support dominate search results in Google. So we don't have the damn dirty apes problem. I would like to point out, though, Squat Cobbler, we got some work to do. we're not dominating so much. So we need to be better.
Names are a really important thing, and it's a hard thing, especially now, because the ability to search something and to Google something and find anything with any similarity to it. That was a really difficult thing when I was picking the name for Pagan, because obviously Pagan is such a common word, and you get deluged with stuff when you search just the word Pagan. Luckily, if you search anything else after that that's related to the band, just the band comes up, which is good. So like if you search Pagan in an album title or song title, you'll just get tons of pictures of us and links to all of our stuff. So you can narrow it down really, really quickly. But it's really difficult because I came up with the name because I had taken a psychology and marketing course while I was in college. And I was working on, because Pagan was originally a solo project, and I was just working on songs on the side, and I didn't want to use my name on it because everything I'd done up until that point that was like professionally released was extreme metal oriented, which obviously this isn't. So I needed a name to kind of create a buffer there so that people didn't buy it and get mad thinking they were getting like a death metal album or something like that. So I understand like the difficulty in choosing names. And now I'm wondering, like, are they going to go back and reissue? Because Damn Dirty Apes had an album out. So are they going to go back and reissue that as Gorilla Voltage, or are they going to take the name change as a completely new beginning and this is their first album? And, you know, everything else will be new from this point forward.
So I'm going to be able, if I want to get Apex, where's my best shot to pick it up?
It's everywhere as far as like any digital services go. It's distributed by InGrooves, which is the same company that distributes Pagan in the US. So they're on InGrooves and Universal, the same as us. You can find them pretty much everywhere. There was a little bit of an issue with the CD version of the album, which was funny to me because I'm not sure how many people actually buy CDs anymore, but there were people complaining about the quality of the disc that was put out on the initial pressing, but apparently that has been amended and they're using different discs now. So if you are purchasing the CD and that was an actual issue for you, then feel free to purchase away because they're using different discs now. I'm hoping they put it out on vinyl though, so I can get a vinyl copy. I'm at the point now where I own so much like physical music, and especially now because I'm moving, it really becomes an issue because I had to get storage and all that kind of stuff. And I have about 5,000 vinyl albums and thousands of CDs, and it becomes a real issue. So most things now I just get digital. If I really like it and really need a physical copy, I want the vinyl.
So are we going to put Squat Cobbler out on vinyl at any point in time, you think?
The Squat Cobbler theme song?
It was just the best of.
Oh, we should. We should put it out on vinyl. So we just, I never had anything out on vinyl until just now. We just started putting Pagan stuff on vinyl, so we should do a Squat Cobbler vinyl.
I know a few episodes we might not put out that album. But
I was going to go straight for the Scooby-Doo episode.
Extended cut. Well, why don't we go ahead and move into social media recommendations? Do you have one for this week?
Actually, no. I do not have a social media recommendation this week.
So I do, and this is a good friend amongst our kind of online community. It's John
Kelly. Are you recommending me? Oh,
no, not at all. This is actually John McGevna, who is at McGevna. That's McGevna. John and his Mike's side piece, Helena, have been connected to a bunch of our stuff forever, whether it was Snarkolic Radio. They were big Nurture and Support backers. They've been on the show multiple times. We should actually probably have them on Squat. Have we had, outside of Christian, we got to probably bring some Squat Cobbler guests on.
Yeah, we've only had Christian and Mel on an episode.
Yeah. So we probably need to get on that a little bit. Maybe the McGevners really would be a good choice.
Oh, but, of course. Got to get my side piece on here.
Absolutely. Because Helena's awesome, hilarious, and funny and through there. And John's a fantastic guy, too. And I just want to recommend him this week because I just really do appreciate John's support across kind of all of our different ventures. One of our other little side ventures is a little show called Assault and Battery that we did for the first season all the way through and part of the last season, kind of a follow-up to the Better Call Saul show, where one year we did it right after the show, the following year a day or two later. April 10th is when Better Call Saul returns. And so John was actually asking on Twitter today, were we going to be doing the show? And we got so my intention is we absolutely are. Exactly what form it takes is something we're still kind of working through. But both John and Helena have been such great supporters of this. And he was asking about it today. And I really appreciated him asking. And I hit him with some questions on what he'd like to see in terms of our timing in particular. And he's got back to me on that. So just, he's a great guy. It's the beauty of Twitter. Never would have run across John any other way except Twitter. And he's been, a tremendous supporter and a great contributor and just a good guy.
That's a great recommendation. John's a great guy. And I had a chance to meet him face-to-face at Snarkstock last year. And he's just a really great guy.
And he actually does have a Snarkalic Radio tattoo. Is that true?
Yes, he does. So does Helena. They both have Snarkalic Radio tattoos.
The most amazing thing to me in the world.
How does that make you feel knowing that something you've done, people are tattooing that to themselves?
So not good. Yeah, I don't know.
Most people would be like, yeah, "That's awesome." You're like, why?
Oh, you why? Listen what's, to the show?
Where's the apprehension in there?
I don't know. I think it comes down to you better be worthy of that. So I guess that's where the apprehension is. And while we certainly had our moments on Snarkalic Radio, it's like, are we truly tattoo worthy? So really appreciate the support on that. But that was amazing when they shared that on Twitter, the photos of the tattoos. It was incredibly awesome. I'd like to point out that Squat Cobbler has two excellent logos, one in a stark black and white, another color, that if you were interested in a tattoo could be something to consider. Because of my immense pride in our work in Squat Cobbler.
Well, I mean, we have been emblazoned temporarily upon a foot of
that's
a
true.
Foot fetish model. So
yeah, that's a start. That's a very good thing. And I did actually, not that I wasn't paying rapt attention to your recommendation, but I did a check on Squat Cobbler, see how we were doing on the results there. And you know, while there's pretty healthy competition with the actual Squat Cobbler video and a lot of Better Call Saul references, we actually make the first page.
I think that's pretty good, yeah, especially because we are going up against Better Call Saul. Yeah. So the fact that we make the first page there, that's pretty good.
It's not bad. It's not bad. Of course, someone looking for a podcast probably isn't searching it. You know, someone searching on Nurture and Support is probably looking for help, and we're pushing all their help down multiple positions. I feel kind of bad about that, but what the heck? Yeah, neither Squat Cobbler or Nurture and Support are probably strong podcast connects, but it's nice to see that we're doing well. Well, on that note, I have nothing else to add for this week. Do you, Mike?
No, I mean, I think it was near perfect. We talked about Muhammad. We talked about words you shouldn't say. We talked about fucking robots. And I had a pretty clean, short recommendation.
All right, folks. Well, thanks for listening. And we will be back in a couple of weeks.
And someone please do a mock-up of Fuck Robot, a memoir. Do a cover art mock-up of that.
Or a tattoo.
There you go. If you get Fuck Robot tattooed to you, we will have you as a guest on this show. And there's a lot of Scooby-Doo porn in general that I didn't know existed until the last couple weeks.
You must be so proud.
I'm just proud of myself that I got through my entire recommendation without using any objectionable language.
Okay. Want to be cool like Al Scooper Duke Coke. It's